I want to spend a couple Sundays in Matthew. This morning I want to talk about the Beatitudes on attitude or about attitude. How important is our attitude? Very important. Yes. I'm sure you all know people that you feel have bad attitudes. Don't point at anybody. Just, you know, I'm sure you know people like that. And you say, yeah, they got a bad attitude. And I've been told I had a bad attitude at times. But attitude is very important, especially in how we approach God. And we're going to be in Matthew 5, just verses 1 through 4 this morning. But Jesus is going to talk about attitude. That's the way I see it. He's talking about the kind of attitude we should have. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Father, I thank you for your word. We know that your word is truth. And I just pray, Lord, that as we look over these passages this morning, that you will deal with each and every one of us individually about our attitudes. Lord, help us to understand this word and to apply it to our own selves. And as Paul said, to examine ourselves. I know we all get out of joint sometimes, Lord, and we may stray a little bit, but help us to keep things in check through your Holy Spirit. I ask a blessing on everyone that's here today and on those who couldn't be here. I ask that you would anoint me to bring this word to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew records that Jesus had been teaching all over Galilee. He was preaching the gospel. He was healing the sick. He was healing people that were demonically oppressed, the paralyzed, the blind, the crippled. We all know that. And his fame was all over Judea. I mean, way up north into Syria, across the Jordan on the west side. People had heard about him. And, of course, they were bringing sick people to him when they heard about this rabbi that was healing, and Jesus was healing them. And at this time, he took a opportunity while the crowds were there to sit down and teach. You know, he wasn't here just to heal. He was here to teach. I've always said that, according to the writer of Hebrews, Jesus is God's final word. The writer of Hebrews said, long ago and at different times, God spoke through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things. So it's very important that we understand who he is and who we are in relationship to God. And this is what he is talking about this morning when he opens up and says, blessed are the poor in spirit. The word there for poor, there was two different words in the Greek. One meant just to be in straitened condition, working poor, maybe living payday to payday. This word for poor means a beggar, a pauper, one forced to cringe or crouch because of their poverty. You remember in Luke 16, Jesus said there was a certain beggar laid at Lazarus' gate. Or named Lazarus, laid it at the gate of a man, and he begged for the food scraps. This is the kind of beggar Jesus is talking about. So he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. I like the way the New Living Translation says it. It says, God blesses those who see their need for him. Now, I kind of like the way that's said. Jesus is talking about spiritual things here. He's not saying, blessed are you if you're flat broke. He's talking about spirit, to be poor in the spirit. The opposite of that's to be haughty or proud. And Jesus is starting his ministry here, and he's got a lot of things to say to these people. And a lot of them they didn't like, to be honest. You know, there's one time he said, you guys are of your father, the devil. That's why you act like you do. Well, they didn't receive that too well. To some of the people that thought they were very religious, he rebuked. He said, you don't even know God. You know about him, but you don't know him. Well, when I want to talk about attitude this morning, how do you receive something like that? Jesus isn't talking to Gentiles. He isn't talking to pagans. He's talking to God's people. We talked about this in Sunday school this morning. These are the Israelites. They are under a covenant with God, the first covenant. And they thought they were pretty dead on. And they were thrilled to see this rabbi doing all these miracles. And it said many of them mused whether he was the Christ or the prophet, you know. And as he begins to teach, some of the amusement left some of the people. They liked what he was doing, but they didn't like what he had to say. So he's saying here, it's very important in things pertaining to God that you be poor in spirit. What's another word for that? We use it a lot in the church. Somebody say it? Okay. How about humility? Humble. It takes humility to believe that this is the Word of God. Because you can read scholars that will argue about that and say, oh, you know, we've researched this and John couldn't have wrote this book. Paul couldn't have wrote that book. Others say, well, it's an antiquated book full of myths. It was okay for then, but it's not. It doesn't apply to now. How many of you know you can't come to God on those terms? This is the Word of God. I believe this with all my heart. From Genesis to Revelation, it's the inspired Word of God. Men wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Okay. So this is how important this is. The Lord didn't just start off saying, well, blessed are the... These build on one another, what he's talking about. So he's telling them you have to start out humble. You have to be poor in spirit. The poor beggar, they just asked for what they could get. They couldn't pay for their food. They didn't have anything to offer. The same way with the poor sinner. Luke gives two examples in his gospel, very briefly we'll touch on. But I want to say this morning that this was not new teaching, what Jesus is doing. Greg touched on this morning. Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets. He preached from them, he taught from them, he fulfilled them. And what he is talking about with these people this morning had been said in the prophets. So this wasn't a new teaching. But I would say he was reminding them. You remember David when he sinned with Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, and Uriah was one of his captains. He was off fighting. David should have been, but he stayed home. And he saw her bathing and decided he wanted her, took her, and she became pregnant. So he had his Uriah come home, and he tried to arrange for them to hook up, and Uriah wouldn't do it. He said, I'm not going to sleep with my wife when all my men are sleeping out in the fields. And I imagine David just felt like that tall. You know, here this guy had integrity. David sent him back to Joab, the commander of the army, with his own death warrant in his hand. He said, put Uriah at the front part of the battle and withdraw help. Well, Uriah got killed. David married Bathsheba. Thought it was the end of the story. We all know the story. The prophet Nathan came to David and told him a little story, and David got furious. You know, and he said, well, this guy needs to die. And Nathan said, you're the guy. And David's response was, I have sinned against the Lord. That's all he could say. But when you read his prayer in the 51st Psalm, I want to share this with you, what David had to say. For you will not delight in sacrifices, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. You know, under the law of Moses, we talked about sacrifices and blood sacrifice this morning. There was no sacrifice under the law for what David was guilty of. You paid with your life. There were sins that God said, you can, the priest can sacrifice this goat or bull or pigeon and shed their blood and you can be forgiven. But adultery and murder were two of the top 10 lists that no, there was no forgiveness. And I like what David says here. God had told him, you're not going to die for this sin, when the prophet rebuked him. But he said, you're going to have trouble for the rest of your life. You know sin has consequences. We can be forgiven and still suffer consequences of our sins. And David here, he says, there's no sacrifice that I could give or I would. He was just totally dependent on God's mercy. He said, I'm broken. He was broken by his sin. David didn't take it lightly. He didn't say, oh, well, it's just one of them things. You know, I was lonely. I wasn't getting along with my other wives, and she was there, and so was I. And, you know, I hear a lot of talk today about mistakes. Well, I just made a mistake. Well, if you've done it against God, it's sin. It's not a boo-boo. It's not a mistake. And in order to be reconciled to God, we have to confess it as such. And you remember the second thing that he said is, blessed are those who grieve, who mourn. The Greek word there means to grieve. So you're not only low in spirit, you not only acknowledge it to God, you don't have a flippant attitude about sin. Christians, we should not have a flippant attitude about sin in our life. We do. We joke about it. And really, it's nothing to joke about. When you consider how holy God is, and we're not, how it offends him, how it grieves him when we sin. Greg was talking this morning about how do we know we're Christians? You know, we talked about the change that takes place in us. Well, one thing that should change greatly as Christians is our attitude. Now, our attitude should change about condemning others. Jesus told a story in Luke 18. He said two men went to the temple to pray. So they're both going to pray. They're both going to talk to God. One was a Pharisee. We know about the Pharisees. And one was a tax collector. Nobody liked the tax collectors. The tax collectors were excluded from synagogue. They couldn't go to the worship services. They were hated. They could go to the temple because they were Jews. But Jesus said the Pharisee stood off by himself and said, God, I sure thank you that I'm not like other guys. What a way to pray. He said, I'm not an extortioner. I'm not an adulterer. And I'm especially not like that guy over there. You ever have anybody point the finger at you? Huh? That you know of? You ever heard somebody talking about you? I shared with you, I hadn't been a Christian very long, and the Lord hadn't told me to cut my hair yet, and I had hair, you know, down to here, and this redneck in the church, he had a white wall, high top haircut. He stood for everything I stood against, but I thought, hey, we're brothers now, you know, so I might as well get along. And he asked me about my testimony one day, and I was talking to him a little, and he said, man, I was a sinner, but I wasn't a scuzzball like you. I said, well, we were going to the same hell, dude, and you know what happens when hippies move in. You know, the property values just go down. Because that's what, he told me I was a hippie, and I said, the hippies are 60s. You know, I'm 70s. We're freaks. That's what we call, we're freaks. We're not hippies. We're freaks. Now, don't put me with the hippies. But I never did forget that. This Christian brother looked down his nose at me and said, I was a sinner, but I wasn't a scuzzball. And that's the kind of attitude the Pharisee had. Jesus said he stood off by himself. He didn't want to be too close to this guy. And he said, I'm glad I'm not like this guy. You ever watch the news and get infuriated at some of the crimes that you see and you think, That person needs to be, you fill in the blank. What does that person need? Jesus. Okay? They need Jesus. The second man, both of them came to pray and talk to God. The second man, Jesus said, the publican, the tax collector, he had no illusions about who he was. He said he wouldn't even look up. And he smote, the King James says he smote his breast. That Greek there means to chop in grief. And ESV, they didn't leave that out. He struck his breast in grief. He mourned. And all he could say was, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Two men prayed. One man left forgiven. The other left smug. In the same position he was when he got there. You see the difference? Why does God want us to be poor in spirit? That goes against the grain, especially for men. Well, I got my pride. Well, I believe it's because God wants us to see things as he sees it. There's something happens. The night I came to Christ, and I've shared this, it was like a veil came off of my eyes. And I would argue with anybody, I'm just a good old boy. I'm a whiskey-drinking, pot-smoking good old boy. I don't steal. I don't hurt people. I work. You know, you mind your business, I'll mind mine. And that's what I really felt about myself. If you asked me if I was a Christian, I said no, because I had people go, are you a Christian? Well, do I look like a Christian? You know, smoking Sensimil and drinking Jack Daniels and Pabst Blue Ribbon, do I look like a Christian? And the night that I called out on the name of the Lord, I've said this before, it was like God pulled these blinders off of me, and I saw me, I think, the way he did. And I loathed myself. And I said, dear God, if you don't do something, I'm done. I saw me for the sinner that I was. The things that I didn't think were big deals, all of a sudden were mountains. They stood in front of me and accused me, my sin did. And I pleaded for mercy. I couldn't have got saved in a church because I'd probably emptied half the building out because I was confessing my sins out loud. And I think people would have said, Martha, grab the kids. You know, we don't want to be here to hear this. Now, I'm not boasting on myself. Some teach that the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that's what that is, you know. And without that, you can't be saved. I'm not going to go that far. This is what I will say. If you don't see that you need to be saved, you can't be saved. Okay? You can believe in Jesus. You can go to church. You can even come back here and let me bar sock you in the water. Doesn't make you a Christian. See what I'm getting at? To be saved means to be rescued. Well, what if I walked up to you on the street and everything was fine? I said, I'll save you. You'd say, save me from what? You're an idiot, you know. I'm fine. I don't need saved. But when it comes to salvation from sin, we need to understand who God is and who we are in respect to God. Nobody, I'm looking in this room, I don't see one perfect person in here, including this guy right here. I don't see one person that has never sinned against God. Now, you could look at me if you know about my past and say, yeah, like that one guy said, but I wasn't a scuzzball like you. Well, no, but as I told him, we were going to the same place. You know, God doesn't list these sins in categories. James said if you break one part of the law, we were talking about the law this morning, you've broken it all. So the adulterer has no business looking down on the murderer. See what I'm saying? The liar cannot judge the adulterer or the murderer or the thief. And if we're not careful, Christians, and I've been guilty of this, we get to a comfortable place as believers. And if we're not careful, we get like that old Pharisee. Boy, God, I'm glad I'm not like that anymore. I was riding in the ambulance one day with this meth head, and they was really getting on my nerves, you know. And I remember thinking, idiot. And boy, the Spirit of the Lord said, who are you calling idiot? I remember another idiot that used to be in that exact same position. Oh, yeah. I remember. I wasn't acting in sympathy. I was judging. Jesus addressing this crowd, he says, the first thing you need to know, humble yourselves. What I'm saying to you is life and death. And when Isaiah, God sent the prophet Isaiah to Israel, because they were in idolatry, they were in everything they shouldn't have been, were told not to be. And he sent Isaiah, and he warned about these terrible disasters. In fact, he told Isaiah, nobody will be converted. You're going to preach, and nobody will listen. He said, well, how long do I do that? He said, till the city's empty. I'm going to empty the city out. But he spoke a promise in the middle of that judgment. I want to read it to you. As soon as I find it, let me get my eyes on. There it is. All right. In Isaiah 57, when God was talking to the prophet Isaiah, he's pronouncing these terrible judgments that's coming. But listen to what God says to the people that will listen and repent. He says, for thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. That's a beautiful promise to me. God's saying, repent, you better repent, you better turn around, you better stop it, all this is coming. And to the ones that were repenting, God said, I not only dwell in the heavens, I dwell with you. You believe me. I'm so glad that when I came to Christ, God didn't say to me, well, Rick, you got to do this, this, and this to become a Christian for me to forgive you. He didn't say that. What did he say? You need to repent. You need to confess your sins. You need to turn from your sins and turn to me and you'll be saved. He doesn't lay down any conditions. You know, I didn't have the Lord say, well, and don't take this wrong. You need to quit smoking marijuana. Quit drinking Jack Daniels. Quit drinking Pass Blue Ribbon. Quit smoking them cigarettes. You need to get a haircut. Now, I had people in church telling me stuff like that. But you know, when I came to Christ, I didn't want those things anymore. My want to changed. Except my hair. I kept my hair long for quite a while. Some of the men in the church said, you need to cut your hair, look more like a Christian. I pointed a picture of Jesus on the wall and said, gee, I guess he's not a Christian. Yeah. We live in a very dangerous time, and there's a lot of false teaching out there, church. And it appeals to us. Especially when it doesn't demand any change. Hey, you're gay. It's okay. You were born that way. God made you that way. Is that what the word says? No. Now, do I judge the gays? I don't agree with what they do one bit, but they're deceived. They've been lied to by the prince of the power of the air, the prince of darkness. They are in darkness. In fact, the whole world's in darkness, and it was there when Jesus came, and he was saying here, you need to listen to me. Listen, really listen to me. You need to receive this, just like God did with Isaiah the prophet. God said, if you'll be humble and contrite, and that takes humility to believe what God is saying. You don't try to justify sin. You call it for what it is. Sin in your life, I'm talking about sin in my life. We call it for what it is. We don't try to jockey and bargain and deal with God. We say, as David, I sinned. And David said, if there was a sacrifice I could give that you wanted, I sure would give it. But he said, I can't. But he said, I'm broken. David couldn't take it back. And his sin cost him dearly. You want to read in Samuel and in Kings about the troubles David had after that. But David never let go of the Lord. He just said, boy, I sure thank you for your mercy, God. I know you're merciful. You know, and that's what I want to share this morning. When the Lord talks about being poor of spirit and grieving, I've had people say, well, that mean I got a ball and squall? And no, that's not what it's saying. But it means that you cannot be saved until you see your need for a Savior. You have to be convinced that you are at odds with God, that you have offended Him, and that you deserve wrath. Now, I'll stick by that till the day I die. There's too many churches nowadays. Well, we don't want to hurt people's feelings. We'll run them off, and they won't put the money in the collection plates, and we got to have that money. You know, no, that ain't what it's about. We're here for your soul. Yeah. Humble yourselves, the scriptures say, under God's mighty hand, and He will lift you up. What does He say? If you lift yourself up, I will knock you down. That's the Greek according to Rick Johnson. God said, I will knock you down. Humble yourself. Do you believe the Bible's the Word of God? Yeah, I do too. Do I believe there's mistakes? Nope. I don't. That all goes back to the Garden of Eden when Satan came to Eve and said, did God really say? They had one commandment. A moron could have memorized that. Don't eat off of that tree. And Satan come up, did God really say not to eat off of any tree? And Eve goes, well, no, just not off that one. Then what did he do? He said, well, you're not going to die. God's lying to you. We live in a time today, church, when the Word of God is under severe attack. Yeah. God made you that way. Well, if God made you gay, you might as well say any kind of sin you carry it into, God made you that way. God made me run around on my wife. God made me a pedophile. God made me a liar. God made me a thief. Hey, that same logic works for anything that you want to say. Any kind of sin you want to throw. God made me like, I can't help this. I was just born this way. You might not be able to help being born ugly, but you can help deciding whether or not you're going to follow sin or follow Jesus Christ. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. Nobody in here has been born ugly, so don't think I'm referring to you. My heart doctor told me I was obese, need to lose weight, and I felt like telling him, yeah, but I can always lose weight, but you'll be ugly all your life. You know, you just want to come back with something like that. But that wasn't nice. So we're going to spend a couple Sundays in Matthew, and I wanted to open with this to remind us that the Lord Himself said, look, you have to be humble in spirit. You have to receive what I'm going to say. You have to line up with me. It'll change your life. I promise you that. It will change your life. Would you stand with me this morning? I'm not asking you to have a big emotional outbreak. I'm just saying, as Paul said, examine yourself. Does sin bother you? Or do you take it lightly? Christian, it should bother us. I'm not talking about moping around when we confess and repent, we leave it lay in the past. But how about now? When we do things that we know offend God, are we like the Pharisee? Well, I'm not, at least I'm not like these guys. We need to be like the publican. God, it's me. I screwed up again. I have sinned. What's God say? I'll pick you up. Yeah. Father, I ask that you bless these people today. Go home with them, Father. Be with them as I know you will. You've promised that in your word. And, oh, Father, we thank you so much for the mercy that you have shown to us, that we who were not a people can now be called the people of God because of what you did through Jesus Christ on the cross. I thank you that you put the curse of the law upon his body, that he shed his blood, Lord, that we might be forgiven, and you raised him from the dead that we could be justified. Help us not to be judges, Lord, not to be lawyers, but to be lovers, to be willing to share this message of hope that we believe in, with other people around us who are in despair and hopelessness. Help us especially to remember where we came from before we point the finger at someone else. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.